You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mooksy, and joining me today is absolutely no one. I'm doing this episode by myself. BJ's on the road taking care of some business. CT was a game time decision. He actually lost his voice, which was very unfortunate. So I'm going to run you down the two amazing games that we had last night in the NBA, because the Knicks versus Pistons one went down to the wire. 116 to 113, the New York Knicks escaped Detroit with a win. And a series win, 4-2. The Knicks almost got taken to a game 7 by the Detroit Pistons, who got started in the first half with a red hot Malik Beasley. He shot in the first half of this game, he was 6 of 11, right? In the series up until game 6, he was 8 of 34. He put on the burner in the first half. He was knocking it down. Kay Cunningham, he did his thing, 23 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals and a block. And Ausar Thompson, even though it doesn't show up too much on the stat sheet, he had 17 points on very efficient scoring. But his defense, 3 steals and 2 blocks, doesn't do justice as to just how good this kid is at basketball. On the defensive side, the way that he can use his speed, his athleticism, his quick reaction times, his ability to anticipate where the attacking player is going, moving his body to cut off the driving lanes without fouling. They bump right into his chest. He stays with him. You know, there was a possession with just a minute left in the game where he was locking up Jalen Brunson and he forced the Knicks into a 24-second violation with 1 minute left in the game. You know, the Detroit Pistons started that first half super hot. They took a lead, a small lead, into the second half. Third quarter, they were up, but they didn't make a three from halftime up until 6 minutes left in the fourth. So now you got a minute left in the game. Durant goes to the line. He was 8 from 8 from the free throw line up until this point. And for a young player like him, high pressure situation, season potential on the line, he goes 1 of 2. Cool. Puts the Pistons up 3. Brunson comes down the floor. Ausar, like I said, defensively misses the pull-up. Brunson misses the pull-up, but Bridges tips the ball in to tie the game with 30 seconds left. Not tie the game, but you know what I mean. This is how you guys can tell it's 6 in the morning, right? The Knicks went on an 8-1 run to close this out. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, because there was over 24 seconds left in the game. So Kate Cunningham decides to walk the dog. And what that means is when they inbound the ball, they roll it along the floor and he doesn't pick it up until he gets to pass our halfway line. Therefore, the shot clock and the clock don't start running until he picks up the basketball, right? So he's done this because he wants to get a 2-for-1. If you don't know what a 2-for-1 is, 2-for-1 is where you score before the final 24 seconds of the game so that you can get the ball back for one final possession. However, being a young player, not being in these situations, there's a lot of pressure going on. Maybe it's a miscommunication from the coaching staff. But Cade, he decides to take a contested layup after they lost the 2-for-1 opportunity. He misses the tough layup. The Knicks called a final timeout with 20 seconds left in the game. And then, as great as Ausar Thompson was on the defensive side of the basketball, Jalen Brunson dribbles to his left, snatches the dribble back. Ausar Thompson goes flying off the screen. Jalen Brunson, what do they call him? Captain Clutch? He pulls up for 3. That's game. Final play for the Pistons. They swarm Kay Cunningham. He hits Beasley on the wing where he would have been wide open. And I would have thought he would have actually hit that shot to send the game to overtime. But he fumbled the ball out of bounds, just like Gary Trent Jr. did the other night. And it's a heartbreaking way to lose this game. But for the Pistons, they should be proud of what they've done, the turnaround they've had this season. Kay Cunningham, Jalen Durant, and Ausar Thompson in particular. They got great minutes from Paul Reed, even though it's not impactful on the stat sheet. He played really well. Dennis Schroeder, a great veteran to join this team. They've got a nice thing going in Detroit, and these series and these games are lessons that these young players are going to grow and evolve from. The Knicks, led by a 40-piece from Jalen Brunson. It was 40 points on 33 shots. Not the most efficient night. 3 of 10 from downtown. But it's about securing a win. It ain't about getting a pretty win. It's about getting a win. Karl-Anthony Towns, though, he had 10 shots, finished with 10 points. The last couple of games have been quite disappointing for him. He had 4 turnovers. I think in the last few games, he's probably had more turnovers than shots going. Oh, he had 3 turnovers. Sorry, that's my mistake. An interesting one, because they move on to see the Boston Celtics, and they traded for Karl-Anthony Towns to beat the Boston Celtics. They had Boston in mind when they made the trade for Cat to try and stretch out that defense. So we're going to have to see what happens. OG did his thing, 22 points. Bridges, 25. Josh Hart, 13. Once again, nothing much off the bench. Tom Thibodeau doesn't like to use the depth. CT has just dropped a text. He said, simply stated, clutch. Like Mike for sure, but Brunson had Thompson slide out of view like he was in a cartoon. The bad part is the Pistons haven't won at home in 2 decades now. They're too young to figure out how to win, but learning lessons quickly. Experience and that dude, Jalen Brunson, prevails. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. You know, the Knicks actually have more turnovers than the Pistons. However, the timing of some of these turnovers and some of these decisions, and not even necessarily direct turnovers, but just bad shot selection down the stretch, it's tough for them. But we're gonna keep it rolling. I think Detroit, they could have won this series if Isaiah Stewart was healthy. He's their best defensive big man. If he was healthy, this series could have looked very different. But there's injuries for every team in the playoffs. The New York Knicks prevail. They'll face my Boston Celtics in the next round. Excuse me, I ain't even going to try and edit that out because here we are at 6 in the morning. But shout out to Detroit, man. Shout out to Detroit. They should be proud of that team. And the Knicks, they took care of business in the end. In the second game of the evening, another thriller. It looked like a blowout at one point, but the Nuggets managed to make it scary down the stretch. And the series is now tied at 3 games apiece, heading to a Game 7 in Denver because the Clippers won at home 111 to 105. Now, James Harden over the last few days has been getting a lot of criticism from the timeline and from certain idiots in the media. He finished tonight with 28 points in 46 minutes. He did his thing. Kawhi Leonard, he gave him 27. Norman Powell gave him 24. But I want to talk about this man. In fact, I want to talk about two players in particular because their stat sheets ain't impressive. Zubac, 10 points, 6 rebounds. Cool. 3 blocks and a steal. But he played maybe the best defense on Nikola Jokic that I've seen anyone play. Okay, Nikola Jokic, he finished with 25 points on 22 shots. What BJ was saying the other day about Alperen Şengün, that's not good efficiency, especially for a big. He finished with 8 assists, 7 rebounds, as he does, filling up the stat sheet. However, Big Zoo, maybe it's because he's from a similar place, maybe it's because he's of a similar build, but he does a fantastic job in guarding Nikola Jokic. And as this series has gone on, he's obviously learning more of Jokic's tendencies and doing a better job of trying to figure him out. I expect Jokic to have a huge Game 7. He's really got to put the team on his back. He's got to look to score. He's got to look for a shot more. There were times in this where he could have had a shot, but he looked to make a play for a teammate. Big man, you're a superstar. You've got to get a win for your team. But the other player I wanted to talk about, 6 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. You guys remember the meme going around? What was the lyric that the guy had? He was like, fourth quarter at the Staples, I got my tool in, wondering why the F Batum in, or something like that. Now you know why Batum's in the game. The first player since Andre Iguodala to have that stat line off the bench. He made big play after big play after big play, whether it be making the extra pass on offense, whether it be getting stops on defense. There was a stretch in the final few minutes of this game when the Nuggets had cut down the lead. Zubac blocked Jokic, and then Batum blocked Russ in like back-to-back possessions. Defensively, like, Nick Batum for me is the Al Horford of the Western Conference. That veteran who can come in, it's not a huge stat sheet, but he does the necessary plays which you need to win. Absolutely huge. And the interesting part now is how the Nuggets are going to adjust, because Nick Batum came off the bench with 34 points. Chris Dunn only played 10 minutes in this one. And previously we talked about Chris Dunn being a great defender, but on offense, the Nuggets can basically play 5-on-4 on offense because they ain't worried about him shooting the three, right? So there are ways to play non-shooters on the offensive side of the basketball. You can put him in a dunker spot. You can get involved as a screener, so on and so forth. But having him stand around on the three-point line and not be a threat is not really, there's not really any point to that. So what they did is they cut his minutes down. They got 34 minutes off Batum. They got 20 minutes off Bogdanović as well. And that was the difference maker. I want to see what the Nuggets do to adjust to that, because Batum isn't as good of a perimeter defender as Zubac, but he does give them that size. You know, there's possessions where he's guarding Jokic. He's being physical with him. He's doing everything he can. And, you know, Derek Jones Jr. as well, coming off the bench, he was doing his thing. So it's going to be an interesting Game 7. When it comes to Game 7s, except for the bubble, because in the bubble there was no home court, home teams are 110 and 37 in Game 7. So probability-wise, the Nuggets should win. However, 8 of the last 12 Game 7s have been won by road teams. And I think the Nuggets lost Game 7 at home last year to the Timberwolves. It's going to be very, very tough because once again, the Nuggets starters play huge minutes, 40 plus minutes for all of them, except for MPJ, who played 25, but Russ played 35 off the bench. Big minutes for James Harden. Kawhi played 39, Norman Powell played 39, Zubac played 33. That altitude, when they get to Denver for game 7 in 48 hours from now, it's going to be tough for them. I'm not going to lie, it's going to be tough for both teams. It's going to be a very, very tough game. CT also sent me his thoughts. He said he's not got a voice, but he's texting me what he thinks. He said, pow, pow, Powell. He went into real man mode, and he was all the difference. James Harden showed up. Kawhi Leonard on his ho-hum greatness. Jokic has got to dominate the matchup at the center spot next game. Zubac got too much confidence thinking he can make it hard for the Joker. I'm not mad at what my Saturday night now looks like. Popcorn on deck. Shout out to CT every time, my brother. Get well soon. But Norman Powell, yeah, let's talk about this, right? Because I've said it before and I'll say it again. When Paul George left the Clippers, everyone said, oh, the Clippers are going to cook. They let Paul George walk for nothing. It's addition by subtraction because all of these minutes Norman Powell got, Paul George would have got them before. Norman Powell has proven to everyone that he's better than Paul George. I don't care about the signature shoe. I don't care about the All-Star accolades in the past, so on and so forth. Right now, May the 2nd, 2025, Norman Powell is a better basketball player than Paul George. And that's just the fact. So you've got Harden, you've got Leonard, you've got Norman Powell, you've got Zubac, you've got four guys out there who can just do their thing. So I don't know how to call this game 7. I can't lie to you because it depends which Jokic turns up. Like, if I'm Jokic going into this game 7, it's all well and good making a place for your teammates, so on and so forth. Nah, I'm going and I'm dropping 40 plus. I'm going and dropping 40 plus and I'm going to give you 10 assists. But I'm going to be ultra aggressive and set the tone from early. I'm going to get all of your players into foul trouble because I'm 7 foot tall and an unstoppable machine. You ain't going to be able to guard me. That's the mindset that he's got to approach it with. And Jamal Murray, well, Jamal Murray tonight, 21 points on 19 shots. That's not the Jamal Murray we saw in game 5. We got to see which Jamal Murray turns up in game 7. There's that meme, like, Jamal Murray decides which Jordan he's going to be. Is he going to be Jordan Clarkson? Is he going to be Michael Jordan? Is he going to be Jordan Crawford? He did not turn into Michael Jordan tonight. He needs to for game 7 because if he can do what he did in the previous game, then the Clippers are toast. But on the Clippers side, Kawhi Leonard. We know what he's capable of doing in game 7 situations, especially late in the game. James Harden has this reputation of a playoff stinker. And, you know, we spoke about this a lot when I used to do TV with Sky Sports. And it's time for him to prove everyone wrong. Either way, whichever team wins, I win this series. Because I want to see Harden win. I want to see Russell Westbrook win. Because those are two guys who have been MVPs of the league. Who have fundamentally impacted the history of basketball. In James Harden and his style of play. Russell Westbrook in what he was able to do through his sheer will and dominance when Kevin Durant left OKC. These are two guys that need to be respected more. The media and the fans love to pile on them when it doesn't go right. But even in this one, Russell Westbrook missed the layup and he had another layup block down the stretch. Cool, but he also was the only one, except for Aaron Gordon, really hitting the offensive glass like that. He pulled down 10 boards, 6 dimes and 14 points. So shout out to Russell Westbrook as well. But either way, Game 7 on Saturday night is going to be cinema. I cannot wait to see it. And tomorrow night, or tonight now in the UK, 2 a.m. It's a late one, Friday night. Houston and Golden State. As the Golden State Warriors try to eliminate the Houston Rockets, they go back to the Bay. And we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what happens. Looking at what happened in the last game, like I spoke about this before, if I'm Ime Udoka, I'm spamming those double big and even triple big lineups. Give me Şengün, give me Adams, give me Jabari Smith. I can put Jalen Green on the bench. From what I've seen in this series, with the exception of game number 2, put Jalen Green on the bench, and we're just going to out-muscle the Golden State Warriors. They're a small team. We're going to hit every rebound. We're going to set screens that rock them when they run into them, especially Steven Adams, because running into one of his screens is like running into a brick wall. And I'm just going to play super physical and do what I've got to do to try and force this to a game 7. However, Golden State, they've got Stephen Curry. They've got Draymond Green. They've both been in these situations before. They've got Jimmy Butler. He's been in similar situations before. I'm expecting Golden State to take care of business. I would be very surprised if the Houston Rockets can force a game 7 here. Steve Kerr pulled his stars early in game number 5 to give them the rest ahead of this game 6. They said, all right, cool. We're down big in the first half on the road. Let's just go home and get this done. So they're going to have fresher legs. I know they're going to be prepared mentally for this. I don't know what Stephen Curry's thumb's going to be looking like, because that picture of it looked crazy. Like, it was all swollen up and everything. But it's going to be cinema. It's going to be cinema. And I'm going to be back here breaking this down for you guys. I ain't going to lie to you. Usually the episodes are like half hour, 45 minutes sometimes even an hour. It's just me today. That's all you're getting. Chat, I'm going to be honest with you guys, because it's just me, and if you're still listening and you turned on the show and BJ's not here and CT's not here, but you're still listening, that means you're a real listener of the show, right? I'm going to keep it 100. You can see, if you're watching on video right now, I look absolutely wrecked. I look grisly. I'm up now, 6:17 a.m. This is like 2 weeks into the playoffs. I've been doing this my whole life, right? Like, staying up, watching NBA, and then we do the podcast and we talk about it and so on and so forth. We're like 700 episodes deep now. Bruh, it's starting to take its toll. I can't lie to you, chat. It is really starting to take its toll on me, health-wise, physically, mentally. Like, I go upstairs to sleep after these shows, and it's broad daylight. Like, it's not like the sun started to rise. It's broad daylight. The birds are singing. The birds have even finished singing. They're already starting their day. Sun's beaming through, and then I get a couple hours sleep, and then I got to wake up, do emails, go to meetings, try and do other things in life as well, try and find time for the gym and this and that. This is a real tough grind. So I appreciate each and every one of you who listens to the show, who gets involved in the comments, shares it with their friends, all that kind of stuff. It's mad that I'm complaining about doing a podcast, because, like, relatively in life, this is one of the easiest jobs ever in the world. But doing the night shift every day for your whole life, it's starting to take its toll on you, boy. So I don't know, maybe I got a crib in America, maybe I got to figure something out, but I just wanted to let you guys know, I appreciate all of you who are the reason why we do this show, and I do this show every day, even when it's just me, because it's consistency is the key, and we can keep doing these. I'm going to try and keep doing these, you know what I mean? But yeah, tomorrow, game 6, let's see if Houston can force a game 7, or if Golden State are going to advance. And then Saturday night, whatever your plans are on Saturday night, if you're in the UK, make sure you're home by midnight. Cinderella thing, make sure you're home by midnight, because at 12:30, Clippers Nuggets game 7. Do I have the predictions here of what we predicted? Do I have the predictions here? That would be quite fun to look at right now. Let me go into my notepad and have a look at what we predicted. All right, so predicted a sweep for OKC. Done. Denver and the Clippers, we picked the Clippers in 6. That one's wrong, but maybe the Clippers win game 7. Lakers, Minnesota Timberwolves. BJ picked the Timberwolves in 6. They won it in 5. I picked the Lakers, but obviously, when we do these brackets, I troll a lot of the time, just, you know, just make it entertaining and stuff. But I'm kind of shocked that the league let the Lakers lose in the first round. But I guess some things are unsavable. And then Houston and Golden State. I think I picked Houston in 6. No, BJ picked Houston in 6. And I picked the Warriors in 7. We're going to see if that comes true. We both picked Cleveland in 5. They won in 4. We both picked Indiana in 6. They won in 5. We picked the Knicks in... I said 6, BJ said 5, and the Knicks won in 6 games. That's a dub. And then we both picked Boston in 5 or 6, and the Celtics won in 5. So that's how our bracket's looking. How are your guys' brackets looking? Let me know. We're in the Discord. If you remember, you can join through the link in the description, or get involved on social media, YouTube, Instagram. Come on, man. You guys know what social media is. I don't need to tell you. But yeah, subscribe to the show. And with all these late nights, I would greatly appreciate if you listen on Spotify, give it 5 stars. If you listen on Apple, give it 5 stars and a review. That would mean the world to me. Helps us in the algorithm and all that good stuff. And we'll be back. I'll be back. Hopefully, the rest of the team will be here, but we'll see. Tomorrow for Rockets, Warriors, game number 6. Until next time, my good people, appreciate you. Get buckets.